You're listening to another podcast from education.au.
Mark Pesce has kindly agreed to facilitate this afternoon, and it's my great pleasure to be able to hand over to Mark in a moment. But just a little bit of background to Mark's, Mark's known internationally as the man who fused virtual reality with the World Wide Web to invent the virtual reality modelling language. Mark is the author of 5 books, including The Playful World, How Technology is Transforming Our Imagination, and numerous articles writing for such publications as Wired, Salon and The Age. For the last 3 seasons, Mark has been a panellist on the ABC show The New Inventors, and from 2003 to 2006, he chaired the Emerging Media and Interactive Design program at the world-renowned Australian Film and Television Radio School. And last year, he received an appointment as an honorary associate at the University of Sydney, and has gone on to found Future Street, a Sydney media and technology consultancy. So as I said, Mark will facilitate both the panel session and also the workshop. So I'm now going to very gladly hand across to Mark. Thanks, Mark.
Thank you, Gary. Am I? Okay, there we go. Good afternoon, everybody. Hopefully you had a nice lunch. We're going to take a turn, and unfortunately Jimmy snuck back in because I wanted to say something out of earshot, which was that we've been very sweetness and light all morning, you know, peace, love, and understanding, and that's good. That's the thing that we work toward. There are other forces in play, particularly as we roll out a technology that revolutionizes the way we come to know things. I am, and you'll get this over the course of my brief presentation, I'm pretty much a strict constructivist. So the acquisition of knowledge and the way knowledge is acquired, I believe, actually is a foundation stone in the ontology of a child, the ontology of an adult, the ontology of an organization. And so that means that when you change the way you learn things, you actually change the entire organism. And that's going to create some interesting issues, and I want to start to just highlight a few of those. So the 3 points that are going to swirl in this world that we're entering as we get into an era where there is pervasively peer-produced knowledge sharing. The 3 tugging points, and you can already see them now in the questions that get asked, in the takedown pieces that showed up in the Sydney Morning Herald on Saturday and in the Australian this morning, asking the same questions about Wikipedia. Is it valuable? Is it truthful? Can you trust it? Is it an authority on anything? These questions aren't going to go away. And they come down to these 2 points. What is the truth, and who do you trust? And in general, throughout the Enlightenment, we considered these separate qualities. You can trust people, but you wouldn't necessarily expect the truth from them, or you can know things that would be truthful, but they may not come from authorities that are trustworthy. Depends, all right? We didn't consider them as being linked in any sort of fundamental way. Well, now we get into different forms of knowledge organization, different forms of knowledge formation. And as we get into those forms of knowledge formation, we start to change the way we assess, critically, the way we come to learn things. So what I've done now, in consulting with the other folks at education.au, what I want to show you is that there are a lot of different approaches to knowledge sharing wikis. So Wikipedia is one example, and arguably the archetypal example. And so what I did was I looked up the same factoid in 4 of these different wikis. And the thing that I learned comes back to an old quote from Mark Twain. It's not what you know, it's what you know that ain't so. So this whole idea of knowledge acquisition and being able to test the waters of truth and trust and authority in knowledge acquisition, as knowledge becomes more pervasively available, becomes a central facet of the culture and a central aim of the educational process. So here's the Wikipedia entry on kangaroo. Pretty much normal, kangaroo, marsupial, blah, 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 blah. That's the first paragraph of it. You know? Nobody's wrong with that. It's probably been worked over a few thousand times, massaged, so on and so forth. Now, Wikipedia represents a distributed authority. There's no one person making Wikipedia true. The goal of making Wikipedia true is something that emerges from the interaction of all the participants in the community who are constantly adding, revising, deleting, so on and so forth. So the authority of Wikipedia relies on the fact that that system works. It does work, but it's distributed. So in America, for example, one of the first things an American might think about is, if there's bad data in here, who do I sue? Right? And you can't point at anything. It's a cloud. So that makes some people very nervous, because this idea of distributing authority and the generation of knowledge is something that we're not particularly used to. All right. Then we go to Britannica. And this is, I think, from the second paragraph of the Britannica entry. Again, gives you lots of good information and says you've got to get the full article with a free trial. Now, Britannica went online in 1999 while I was writing The Playful World, and I was in ecstasy because the definitive reference source in the English language went online, and it was amazing, and I was using it frequently, and there's even a chapter about Britannica being online in the book, because I realized that this was going to revolutionize ontology, that the universal access to children and adults of the gold standard for knowledge in the English language was going to change the way we came to know things. And in fact, Britannica was so powerful that 72 hours after it launched, the servers that it had collapsed because it was under such a heavy load. They bought a bunch more servers, went back online, and proceeded to lose money hand over fist, even though they had one of the most popular sites on the internet. Don't ask me how. I just know that this happened. And of course, Britannica is now behind a wall. You can get to some of the articles on Britannica. But what Britannica is promising you for that $6.95 US a month is that there is an authority, and that authority is centralized. It is not distributed. Britannica is the arbiter of the truth. That's a very old model, basically emergent with the, say, scientific revolution. And it's a trustworthy model. And what they're saying to you is that if you want access to the centralized model of authority for determining the truth, you're going to give us your money. All right. Now, there are variations. If you want to take those as sort of poles, Wikipedia on one side and Britannica on the other side, what we're going to see is a whole bunch of things showing up in the middle range between these. And perhaps the most famous of these right now is something called Citizendium, which is, would you call it a spin-off, Jimmy? A fork?
They're not forking as far as I know.
All right. So one of the Wikipedia co-founders has decided, not a co-founder. He calls himself a co-founder. All right. One of the fellows who calls himself a co-founder of Wikipedia has said, my God, this is anarchy. We've got to do something about it. And went and founded something called Citizendium. And the idea with Citizendium is that, in fact, they're setting up the editorial and peer review policies that are more familiar with perhaps a Britannica, so that really, if you're only recognized as being an authority on a subject, do you have editorial authority on a particular entry? Now, that's an interesting approach. They've recently launched in beta. And the problem with that approach is that when you actually end up sort of concentrating authority, even if you've distributed a little bit, but if you concentrate the authority somewhat, it radically slows down the process of knowledge formation. So there's 1,500 articles in Citizendium right now, and there is no entry on Kangaroo. All right. But it represents perhaps a middle, sort of a comfortable middle. And the thing that they're telling you is, well, we're more trustworthy than Wikipedia. Really, we have these processes in place to make us more trustworthy. And it's time will tell whether they can actually build anything that can rival the fact that Wikipedia is 1,000 times larger and is continuing to grow and has gathered, in a sense, such gravitational force that Citizendium is, in some sense, always going to be trying to catch up to that level of authority and that level of availability that Wikipedia has. But it represents a middle point. Then there's Conservapedia. This is an actual entry for Conservapedia. I did not make this up. Conservapedia Conservapedia believes that the assertion of neutrality, which Jimmy made so much about this morning, is false, and that Jimmy Wales is a big fat pinko. And they believe that there's space on the internet for a different way of telling the truth. And this is not the first paragraph on the Kangaroo in Conservapedia. This is under the section called Origins, in which they describe a creationist methodology for the origin of the Kangaroo. And then finally, Encyclopedia. Now, the thing that I noticed was that the Conservapedia article is funnier than the Encyclopedia article. Even though this one is intentionally funny. And Encyclopedia has an interesting internal logic. There are several sort of belief systems that weave their way through Encyclopedia and conspiracy theories, and they all sort of reinforce each other so that if you entered this universe unawares, you'd find it eerily self-consistent, just like Conservapedia. All right, so we have different types of knowledge representation. And again, anyone can come in and edit Conservapedia. Anyone can come in and edit Encyclopedia. Anyone can come in, no. Not anyone can come in and edit Citizendium, and no one can come in and edit Britannica. So you have this range of different ways of applying the idea of pair production. Either you're going to forbid it entirely, you're going to be completely open to it, and maybe you're going to be completely open to it, but with a specific intent organizing that idea of knowledge creation. Now, as I said, I'm a strict constructivist. The basic idea that I understand is encapsulated in this phrase from Monterano and Varela's The Tree of Knowledge, which is a brilliant book sort of about the biology of constructivism. All knowing is doing, and all doing is knowing. What that means is that knowledge acquisition is part and parcel with skills acquisition, and skills acquisition is part and parcel with knowledge acquisition. So when you change the way people come to know things, you change the way people do things. When you change the way people do things, you change the way they know things. So that means that when you drop a thermonuclear weapon like Wikipedia onto the world, you're fundamentally going to change the way people come to know things. You're going to fundamentally change the way people come and do things. And the first thing that that's going to do is it's going to make everyone go, wow, this is just amazing. This is the peace, love, and light scenario. The next thing it's going to do is it's going to piss off every constituency with a stake and holding knowledge back. We've got to understand at the end of the day that most elites are based on the idea that knowledge is power. The entire subject of arbitrage is based on the fact that I know something that you don't. And the more that knowledge is distributed, the less an elite has to hold on to power. And therefore, elites will naturally resist that. And that could be a Wall Street elite. It could be an elite in the typing pool. It doesn't matter. Elites form. Elites are just part of the fact that we're primates, and some of us are alphas and some of us are betas. And we make these natural organizations amongst ourselves, and we tend to guard very jealously what we have. So that means that any organization that tries to apply a peer production knowledge sharing technology is going to encounter resistance, perhaps very straightforward, perhaps very diabolical and Machiavellian, from the elites that want to hold that knowledge. The second thing, which I think is adequately shown from the Conservapedia entry, is that special interests work knowledge to their own aims. They try to shape the story that's being told. And of course, you could go completely postmodern on this and say that all knowledge is shaped in that way to tell a particular story. Or you could say, well, maybe there's a consensus view and we can work from that. But those special interests are the people who went off and founded Conservapedia, because they realized that the story that they wanted to tell themselves and their children was not being represented by Wikipedia. And at the same time, you have another tendency. Wikipedia is now so powerful in terms of the internet, it's such a force that the communities are starting to become sensitized to the fact that they can knowledge share within themselves, that in fact that every community, whether of experts or plebeians, has an enormous amount of knowledge latent within them. And I assume that's one of the goals of Wikia, is to be able to sort of free the knowledge that's latent within a particular community. So you have three different forces at work, and these three different forces actually have diametrically opposed goals. So what do you get? It's war. All right? What we're going to see over the next 10 years as pair-produced knowledge sharing becomes more and more widespread, and as it flows now into the schools, because people get very, very upset when it comes to the education of their children, the way their children come to know things and what they come to know, what we're going to see that as pair production becomes a bigger part of the knowledge culture in Australia and in the world, the arguments about what constitutes trust, truth, and authority will become ever more heated. So, when you return to your organizations tomorrow, hopefully filled with lots of great ideas about how to bring knowledge sharing and peer production knowledge sharing strategies into your organization, all I'm asking you is to be aware that these natural barriers, and you don't blame people for them. Elites want to hold their power, special interests want to shape their power, but communities are out there and they're learning how to use that power. And the thing you need to do is figure out how to get in front of it and how to seduce the people who might be disenfranchised or disempowered by the spreading of that knowledge sharing. All right, that's all I wanted to say.